This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Tuesday saw another day of higher activity in the grain and oilseed sector to start the week. Good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk. Glad you could join us once again. Thanks for making us part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here. As again, another strong day in grains and oilseeds led by that soy complex. Soybean meal specifically, again, the bullish star of the show on Tuesday's trading session, with soybeans following closely behind, especially front month August beans, that old crop still showing good strength as we saw that contract up sharply on the day. Wheat futures up moderately as well. Well, I should say up sharply, while corn was up rather moderately. Corn was kind of the weaker link of the three here on the day today, as corn prices higher, but there's a little bit of perception out there that the corn crop is made here as we move into the month of August, and that allowed the outside markets to weigh on prices a little bit, but I think that perception may be a little off. We did see lower crop ratings this week, especially in some of the western states for corn. Beans were down as well. We have plenty to discuss on the program today. Coming up, Jim McCormick, AgMarket.net, will join us in segment 2 and 3 to discuss the market trade action here today. Also, coming up at the end of the show, we're going to talk with Corn Refiners Association President and CEO John Bodie, talking about the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition. This is a new coalition just announced here recently, and the CRA is part of that. We're going to talk to John and learn more about it coming up in segment 4 on the show here today. First up, though, I talked around mid-session with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Got Arlen's thoughts on price action and trade activity here today. And we start off, I ask him about the grains today and his thoughts with the lower crop ratings, as well as this week's Fed meeting starting up, wondering what is weighing exactly on prices and moving us to the upside. Here's what Arlen had to say.
Well, all these food and energy commodities had really plummeted over the last month and taken prices down to where the grain and oilseed markets are trading near their lows for the year. So it left them more vulnerable to the upside. And with Wall Street kind of calming down, the fear index was down around 3-month lows, the VIX, that allowed some refocus on some of the supply risks that we're facing with the grain and oil seeds. And as you mentioned, the crop ratings dropping yesterday afternoon for corn and soybeans because of the weather we've had this month so far. The weather's moderating right now this week, but it's expected to go hot and dry for much of the plains and western Midwest, west of the Mississippi, and maybe a little further east than that as well, as we turn the calendar to August. So we are focused more on putting some of that risk premium back into the market over the last couple of days. But I've also noticed that as we get closer to tomorrow's Fed meeting statement, that Wall Street nerves are starting to get short again. The VIX is making its way higher. The dollar is rallying once again. That's weighing on crude oil, and that's starting to weigh on corn as well. A lot of traders thinking, oh, we're done with July, so therefore corn is made. That's not totally the case. Soybeans, though, and wheat still seeing strong money flow, positive money flow, supporting those prices, and corn kind of trying to hang on to its gains.
Now, in the livestock sector, Arlen, we see mostly lower action there. What are your thoughts on the protein sector here today? I think we've definitely digested Friday's cattle reports we saw last Friday, and the hog market maybe taking a little more profit here, although I believe August now fairly in line with that cash index.
Well, certainly the higher feed prices are weighing on the feeder cattle market. But overall, I think we're seeing a negativity to this protein complex that's spilling over from Wall Street. Those recessionary fears and will the consumer buy the higher cuts of meat, all of that's just kind of weighing on the meat complex today. So we're seeing the negative tone pretty much across the board there.
Arlen, also yesterday, the Russian-owned Gazprom announced they're cutting the flow of natural gas to Europe, to Germany, from 40% to 20% in the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. What are your thoughts on that situation, how it affects Europe's energy needs, and also in turn could affect the U.S. energy needs moving forward?
So the biggest challenge is going to be this winter. How harsh of a winter will we have? How harsh of a winter will Europe have? That's going to be ground zero for the test. And so right now we're seeing strengthening of energy prices in Europe. I mentioned that the energy market has gone negative on recessionary fears near term here in the United States. But we've seen that strength in gas prices in particular in Europe and fears of more shortages of energy. And so we're far from this thing being over. In fact, 2023 may see more challenges in the commodity sector than what we've seen in 2022, depending on how this play out. Because not only is it a factor for staying warm and for having energy for our buildings and for our vehicles, but natural gas is also the key feedstock for nitrogen fertilizer, but also for many of the other crop input products that we use that in order to produce our food in the world, around the world. And so it's something we're going to have to watch very closely.
And again, that is Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us and providing his thoughts here for our midday commentary for Market Talk and our family of networks, so the American Ag Network. And of course, always great to catch up with Arlen and get his thoughts on what we see in the market trade each and every day. And again, a mostly higher session led by the bean meal market could be an indicator maybe of some Chinese demand coming back online with hogs, their rapid regrowth of their hog herd in China. A lot of things to look at with that bean meal market. We're going to talk more about all that coming up with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net here in just a little bit. I do want to take a look at the latest crop progress report from USDA Monday afternoon. That came out. Heat and a lack of moisture in much of the country really took its toll on U.S. crop conditions last week, with good to excellent condition ratings for corn, soybeans, and spring wheat all falling. Some relief is likely on the way for much of the country here this week, at least temporarily, according to the weather forecast. But again, the heat and dryness going to come back in here as we get into the month of August. Corn condition rating 61%, good to excellent, down 3 percentage points from last week and 3 percentage points below last year's rating at this time. And we saw big drops in Tennessee, Kansas, Colorado, Nebraska, Kentucky as well on the corn side this week. Soybeans, 59% of beans rated good to excellent, down 2% from last week and up slightly from 58% a year ago. Saw big declines in Arkansas, Michigan, Nebraska, Tennessee, Missouri, and other southern states as well. Spring wheat, we see 68% of the crop rated good to excellent, down 3 percentage points from the last week, but far above last year's rating of just 9%. So good news there. We expected that. Of course, as we've alleviated a lot of the drought across the Northern Plains, we also have this week's Wheat Quality Council Hard Spring Wheat and Durham Tour going on, and we're going to be watching that tour closely to see what they find in the fields across much of North Dakota, as well as parts of South Dakota and Northwest Minnesota here this week, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that, see how that impacts the trade as well. Winter wheat harvest progress, by the way, 77% of the crop harvested as of Sunday. Well, again, coming up here, we're going to be talking with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. He will join us next as we continue with Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net going to join us in just a moment. Let's look at some of the closing numbers here today. Again, the grain and oil seeds, a strong day once again. August soybeans up 59 at three quarters, 1532 at three quarters. September up 43 at three quarters, 1399 at three quarters. November beans up 37 at three quarters, 1383 at three quarters. August bean meal up 2490 a ton, 472.40. August soybean oil up 41 points at 6042. September corn up 17, 597. December corn up 17, 6¾. So getting that $6 mark today. March corn up 16 and three quarters, 607.5. September Chicago wheat up 33 and three quarters, 803 and three quarters. December up 33.5 at 822. Kansas City wheat September up 37 and a quarter at 877. December up 37.5 at 884 and a quarter. And looking at spring wheat, September, that was up 44 and three quarters, 928 and three quarters. December spring wheat up 42 and three quarters at 939 and a half today. September oats up 9, 451 and a half. Canola, that was up 1870 at 813.80 as well. Currently, crude oil, that is been trading lower. That has been trading lower today, down $1.80 a barrel right now at $94.90, with the Dow Jones down 253 points here this hour. And joining us now to talk about the market trade here today, let's say good afternoon to Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net joining us. Jim, great to have you back on the program, sir. How you been?
I'm doing well, Jesse. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for making the time and being with us again here, Jim. Let's dive right in. Tuesday's trade action, another, I'll call it a risk-on day in the grain. Strong moves across the board. And bean meal seems to be the leader again here today, along with soybeans. So I think that's something we need to talk about today. But just overall, lower crop ratings here this week. We have a hotter forecast coming up. We have the outside market worries. It feels like everything just combining to give us enough bullish news to move higher here to start the week, Jim.
I would agree with it. I think it's kind of a combination of everything. I think part of it is just also the break we've had through the month of July. We've had a lot of risk off on the markets. A lot of it had to do, Jesse, I believe, with funds that are just choosing to get out of the commodities in general. When the Fed started raising rates in June, and we anticipate them to raise them again tomorrow, that was the signal for the funds to say, hey, time to get out of commodities. Essentially, I'm fighting the Fed. The Fed's goal is to drive down the price of goods, so they exited it. Now it does feel like maybe we went a little bit too far to the downside. You know, the last couple of weeks, there was a lot of rhetoric about all this grain coming out of the Ukraine. As we saw, even though the deal was signed, it's going to be a lot more challenging than I think people were thinking, actually getting the grain out. You know, I think another Odessa was bombed over the weekend. I think another port city was bombed last night. So I think you're getting a little bit of war premium maybe putting back on, realizing we're probably going to get some grain out of the Ukraine, but we're not going to get 5 million metric tons a month like we were pre-war. And then on the weather side of the equation, you know, maybe took a little bit too much weather premium out, being the fact we still got some summer to go. So, I mean, those are definitely things that are kind of attracting buyers back into the marketplace.
Well, let's break things down a little bit more. Let's start with that soy complex. Meal's been really strong the last couple of days. I'm wondering if maybe some of that is anticipated demand from China with their hog herd increasing. I'm not sure, so I'll ask you, what are you seeing in this bean meal market? Because it really feels like that's been the bullish star of the show to start the week, Jim.
Well, I think part of it, Jesse, was the fact is a very popular trade early in the year was to buy oil, sell meal. They were buying the oil on the veg oil trade, buying oil on, you know, not being able to get the the sunflower oil out of the Ukraine. So, and then as well, it's just the energy component of it. The energy market continues to be under pressure for the most part as people are fearing the recession. So I think you're seeing a lot of unwinding of that spread, which is driving the price of meal up. The other thing I think you're seeing also what's going on, maybe hand in hand with the beans. Look at the August bean market doing. It's really running hard today. And I think that might have to do with the heat that's coming in. Some of these midday models, now it's raw data. We're putting 100 plus degree temps in parts of the Dakotas, Iowa, even creeping to Illinois toward the end of next week. And I think you have some producers out there that are very worried about what type of crop, what size of crop they're going to have in the beans. And all of a sudden, it's getting a little bit harder to get those last beans out of the producer's hands to bridge them for these end users and, you know, meal processors to bridge them to the new crop. So I think you're seeing a little bit of a squeeze, and maybe you're seeing a little bit of short covering, fearful that there are going to be some deliveries, people essentially trying to demand delivery as we go into the first part of August.
That's a great point. And on top of that as well, we talked the heat in the Western Plains. I've even heard some rumors, some guys in the Eastern Corn Belt, they're not too happy with how their soybeans are looking so far either, because maybe they've gotten a little too much rain in some spots. Ohio, Indiana, et cetera. So I think there's a double-edged sword of worries out there for the soybean crop right now.
Well, there's definitely a double-edged sword, as you put it, simply because the big problem is there is no room for error. Remember, in July, Jesse, they managed to get that new crop bean carry out to grow to 230 million. How did they do it? They did it by cutting demand dramatically. They cut exports roughly 60 million, and they also cut crush, old crop, and new crop by 10. And they did that because they knew they were losing production due to the loss of acres. And that managed to hold that carry out at about 230 million. But what happens is you lose a bushel off these beans due to this heat, and all of a sudden your carryout's now down to 150. You'll lose another bushel and drop this, you know, production down below 50 bushels an acre. All of a sudden, this market is going to have to go into a rationing mode until we see what type of crop South America has. So, yeah, this is something a little bit of a concern. And like I said, I think last week it might have took a little bit too much weather premium out of the market, and I think we're trying to put some of it back in here the last 24 hours, 48 hours of trading.
Jim, let's talk the corn market. December corn closing right at $6 today. You know, I think there's a lot of worry in the trade here watching the corn market. Obviously, the western states, we saw the lower crop ratings. We anticipated that. But I wonder, can Iowa and Illinois hold up the national corn yield if Iowa and Illinois continue to be very good? And obviously, with more heat and dryness and lack of rain, you know, what could that do to the corn crop? Gotten, you know, through the most part of pollination here. So you look at this corn market, it felt like the weakest of the three today. What stands out to you? Are some of those things standing out to you? Are you worried? Are you worried that Iowa and Illinois might not be able to carry the national average moving forward?
I don't believe they can. I start with the weakest first. Yes, I think it was kind of the weak leg of the grains today. Beans are definitely going to be the leader. I think the trade's taken that, you know, August is going to be is bean month. And we are getting pretty much through the critical pollination phase. But if the beans go up, they will help up the corn. Now, as for your comment on the yield, I do think it's going to be a struggle personally to hit the 177 national yield. That would tie last year's crop. And remember, last year to do that, we had five states that all had record production. And I know Illinois and Iowa are looking pretty good, but some of these other states are not looking all that good right now. The ratings dropped this past week. I wouldn't be shocked if they stabilize on Monday. But if the heat comes in as forecasted, I'm looking for another drop the week after. So, no, I think in general, you're looking at probably a 175 to 176 crop would be if you're going to make me push a number on right now. But, you know, if we're not careful and this heat sticks around too long, we start having poor fill or tip back, and this crop ends up below 174, we're going to be in the same situation as describing the beans, where this corn market is going to have to maybe go into a little bit of a ration mode until we see what type of crop the South Americans have this upcoming winter.
Well, and, you know, looking at some of those states that are seeing issues, Kansas, parts of Nebraska, even South Central South Dakota, I think as well into the Southeast, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, not looking good on the corn crop either. So you look at a lot of those outlier states outside of the I states, and to me, to your point, Jim, $6 on new crop December corn feels like a pretty good spot to lock a floor in and leave that top side open here, just depending on how the weather goes the next month or so.
I would definitely do that. I mean, I think the odds are if these forecasts holds, I think there's a decent shot we can get a rally. But our group would argue that if you haven't sold a lot of grain, it's a good time to make some catch-up sales. Because the reality is this, we're probably going to have enough grain, even if it was down to 174, 175, to bridge us to the South American crop. And if South America managed to have a big crop, there's no reason for corn to explode higher. But, you know, on the macro front, we've definitely got some major headwinds. The Fed's more than likely going to raise interest rates on tomorrow's meeting by at least 0.75 point. Then we have the GDP number on Thursday. All likelihood, if we're not in a recession or at least so a second quarter of negative GDP growth, we're not going to see anybody robust growth. The pessimism is really negative around the world right now. So you're going to see, you know, the overall economy struggle. When that happens, it tends to be negative for commodities as well.
And he is Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net, our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. And coming up, we are going to continue our conversation, talk more about the outside markets, that Fed meeting going on here this week. Also take a look at livestock, that and more coming up next as we continue with more Market Talk on the way right after the break.
How many acres are you keeping an eye on? Another pair of eyes could be very helpful in protecting your ROI, especially ones that are highly trained. And that's what you'll get with an FS Crop Specialist. They can spot issues you might not even know you have using the latest technology, including thermal, drone, and NDVI imaging. Then they can get an early treatment plan started. Contact your local FS Crop Specialist to learn more about our crop scouting services. It's one more way FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here today. Our guest analyst, Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. We will continue with Jim here in just a moment. I want to take a look at how the livestock trade fared today. We're going to be talking about that coming up here in segment three. Looking at cattle and hogs, mostly lower today, especially feeder cattle weighed on by the higher feed prices. August feeders down 187, 177.42. September down 225 at 180.42 here today. Looking as well at feeder cattle, some of these deferred months, October down 202, 183.22, November down 197, 184.97. August live cattle down 87, 136.87, October down 97, 142.37, December live cattle down 57, 148.05, February 60 lower, 151.95. And over in hogs, lean hogs, August down 25, 116.97. October down 47, 93.65. December hogs down 27, 85.97. February 30 lower, 89.60. April hogs down 25 at 92.80. Cash livestock indices, feeder cattle index up 89 at 169.91, while the lean hog index up 91 at 119.13. Looking over at the stock market here as well as we work through the afternoon and work towards our close in the financial sector. The Dow Jones has been trending a little bit lower. The Dow is down 225, NASDAQ down 253, S&P futures are down 50. We see the U.S. dollar index as well. That's up 69 at 107.04. Crude oil down $1.84 a barrel, 94.86. We have that Fed meeting starting up here today, continuing into Wednesday. And the trade anxiously waiting to see whether or not we get a 75 basis point rate hike or not coming up here tomorrow. Well, let's talk about that some more with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net. He is our guest analyst here today. Jim, talking a little bit more about the outside markets, Jim, that Fed meeting. Do you anticipate, it feels like the trade has done its best to price in a 75 basis point rate hike. We have the recession fears, but you know, who's to say the Fed doesn't come back here and say, give us a higher rate hike, give us a full point basis point, 100 basis point rate hike. Do you anticipate a surprise from the Fed tomorrow by chance?
I don't. I think they're going to keep it right around 0.75 points. I mean, part of the reason why I think, early on, Jesse, when we had the last rate hike last month, I think that was on the books. But if you take a step back, what essentially has happened since that last rate hike, look at the price of crude oil. Crude oil was trading at a high of 130 on the night of the war. It'd been trading around 120. It's now down in the mid to low 90s. So the crude oil price is dropping. Look at the price of gasoline. It's dropped over a dollar. So you're seeing the energy prices come down. Look at the price of grains. Beans are trading over $18. Corn's trading over $8. Wheat was trading at $14. So the grain price is coming down. I know around here, you're starting to see house levels that are trying for sale. Those prices are being cut as the interest rates are going up. So when you look at what the economy is doing, it is doing what the Fed wants. The Fed, by raising interest rates, they are trying to put the brakes on the economy to slow down demand. And we're seeing that. Walmart had earnings yesterday, if you notice. Their earnings, they were still profitable, but they weren't near as profitable as Walmart wanted it to be, because what's happening is people are no longer buying the high margin goods. They're tending to buy more food, which has less margin. So what's happening is they're slowing down consumption, which is what the Fed wants them to do. So I think, by raising them 0.75 last time around, doing it again this time around, I think the economy is slowing down enough that that's going to have them. They don't have to shock the market with a full point. But the fact is, it is a Fed. Whatever number we're going to get, we're probably going to get some volatile reaction to it, no matter what number they give us.
the wheat markets real quick, Jim. Yeah, I think the wheat markets to me feel like they're in a little bit of a holding pattern to slightly bullish. It feels like maybe putting some premium back in, some risk premium here, waiting to see what we get out of Ukraine. I know as well, U.S. wheat still not cheap, but still not cheap enough for folks like Egypt to buy. But watching all these factors, we have a spring wheat tour this week, wondering what we'll see there, which should look fairly decent. To me, it just feels like the wheat markets are maybe holding a little bit for some more concrete news. What do you think?
I think you nailed it right there, Jesse. I mean, I couldn't say it better. They're holding support right now. I mean, we've had a little bit of a triple bottom on the charts, but they're trying to bounce off of it. We are some of the cheapest wheat in the world. We'd like to get some more demand coming our way. If the dollar would weaken, that would help a lot. But we are, you know, we're cheap. We're now, like I said, we're getting competitively priced. I think the world is coming to terms right now that we're not going to get a lot of grain out of the Ukraine. Now, I do think right off, you'll probably see quite a few ships come out relatively quick. There's roughly 80 ships, supposedly, that have been locked up in Ukraine due to this war for the last 5 months. I'm guessing those ships and those crew are want to get the heck out of Dodge. The moment they can get out of that country, they're going to go. And that will be bringing wheat and some corn to the rest of the world. But then the real question is, who's going to go back into a war zone? You know, you got to find a crew. You got to find a captain. You got to find somebody who's going to insure that boat to go into that war zone. And I just think that's going to be a very, very hard situation to, you know, get through, plain and simple. So I think the world, you know, kind of priced in way too many bushels coming out of that country. And that, you know, I think that will hopefully, you know, as people realize that, I think the odds are high that's going to bring some demand back to the United States when they realize they're not going to be able to count on the Ukraine.
Let's talk livestock a little bit, Jim. Start with the hog market. It had been a pretty bullish run there. We have backed off just a little bit here to start the week in August, that kind of getting in line with cash now and the futures. But still, this hog market's been pretty impressive the last couple of weeks. What's your thoughts there, Jim?
Well, it's been pretty impressive. I think maybe at least near term, the near term runs maybe down sideways to down. We had that big key reversal in some of the contracts yesterday, and I think that was a technical indicator. Maybe we've overdone it a little bit. I think it's going to be more of a sideways type of chop right now. I mean, the reality is, you know, the supply is going to continue to tighten up, I believe. But the big thing is we got to get the Chinese to come in and buy a little bit more pork. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of political tensions right now in China. You have Nancy Pelosi that's trying to go over to Taiwan, and that's kind of got the Chinese a little bit upset with us. But on the other hand, you got President Biden also talking about maybe relieving some of the tariffs that President Trump had put on as a way to essentially ease inflationary fears or pressures on American citizens. Because remember, when we put tariffs on people, it does not penalize the Chinese. It penalizes the buyers. Because 99.9% of those buyers, whatever that tariff they have to pay bringing that product into the U.S., they pass it directly on to the end buyer. So, we'll see where that plays out. But I think that's probably the next thing for the hog market would be to see maybe China come in and be a little bit more aggressive. That also has to do with their economy. They're definitely kind of putting a stranglehold on their economy, in my opinion, as they continue these COVID lockdowns. So if their economy can stabilize, that would probably also just help the overall psychology of the hog market.
And how about the cattle market, Jim? What are your thoughts there as we work through this week?
I think overall it's continued to be more of a sideways market. It's been in sideways for a while now. I think in general it's holding in there pretty well. I mean, near term we've got a lot of cattle being dumped on the market as they're trying to get rid of cattle due to the extreme heat. But, you know, in the long run, you look at the supply of cattle, it's going to tighten into the end of the fourth quarter, into 22, 23, assuming we don't go into a really negative recession. And I really don't think we will. I mean, the reality is over the last couple of months, we've been actually hiring people at a pretty ferocious pace, even though the economy's been slowing down. So hopefully, if we do have a recession, it'll be relatively shallow, and that'll keep the beef demand relatively supportive.
Well, Jim, fantastic stuff. Any other final thoughts for us? The floor is yours before we wrap it up for today.
Well, I think right now, I think, you know, a lot of producers are very upset, especially in the grain market, that they missed the rally. It, you know, this sell-off we here had in mid-July was probably a lot harder and a lot faster than a lot of people thought it would. It wasn't your typical weather break. It was a weather break combined with funds exiting these speculative positions due to blowing up the inflation hedge. It looks like these weather models hold. We probably got a shot at putting some weather premium back into the marketplace, but I would encourage producers to use a nice rally back up kind of retracement rally points up here to try to lay off some risk. Because like I said, in the broader picture, the economy is definitely slowing down, not just here in the United States. And that tends to be negative commodity. So you don't want to let the second chance rally get away from you, if all possible.
Well, Jim, if producers want to reach out to you guys for any advice, I know they can find you very easily, agmarket.net, or they can give you a call, can't they?
Exactly. But you know what? I'm going to encourage people to go to agmarket.net and subscribe for a free trial of our research, or go to the app, agmarket.net, or go to any of the app, go to any of the Apple or Google stores and download our app.
Well, with that, we appreciate the time as always. Jim McCormick of agmarket.net, thank you for joining us today, sir. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you again for having me on, Jesse. Appreciate it.
And again, that is Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net joining us here today on Market Talk. Always appreciate his insights into the market trade. Thank him for joining us once again here on today's program. And again, overall, another strong, solid day throughout grains and oil seeds here today, with December corn closing above $6, just barely, but still hitting that $6 mark here for the first time in a little while. Soybeans, a good move there today. Strength in bean meal really seen today. August up $24.90 a ton, $472.40. And August beans up 59 and three quarters, 1532 and three quarters. So some indication there that end users trying to pry more beans away from farmers as we see supplies possibly tighten up more and more. Wheat futures strong today as well. Waiting for details from the spring wheat tour going on this week in North Dakota. That got going here today. They'll drive through much of North Dakota as well as cover a couple slivers of South Dakota and into northwest Minnesota as well through the Red River Valley. Expecting a fairly good-looking spring wheat crop, but still waiting for anecdotes from that tour here this week. Coming up here on the show, before we run out of time today, though, we're going to have a conversation with John Bodie, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. They're part of a new Ag Bioeconomy Coalition. We're going to learn more about the coalition and talk to John. That's coming up next as we continue with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Corn Refiners Association President and CEO John Bodie is with us. John, great to have you on the program, sir. How are you today?
It's Jesse. It's great to be with you.
Well, I am very interested to learn more about this new Ag Bioeconomy Coalition, and it's something that the Corn Refiners Association and various other groups are part of. John, just to start, can you tell us a little bit about this coalition and how this whole idea kind of came about?
You bet. Jesse, the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition is focused on promoting the American agriculture bioeconomy. And that is the numerous things that are made from American agricultural products beyond food. And we at the Corn Refiners are thrilled to be partnering with the Farm Bureau, the Farmers Union, the National Association, State Departments of Agriculture, and of course, the Corn Growers and the Soybean Association and others. This is a, from our perspective, CRA is getting to join with the best of the best in agriculture policy to promote the ag bioeconomy.
Well, John, talk a little bit more about the policy objectives here, and you hit on a couple of them, but, you know, as we especially get ready for a new farm bill, I think about that and many other things down the road, the future of agriculture here in the U.S., what are some of the big key objectives that the coalition's going to be working towards?
Of course, Jesse. You know, we all think of fuels as part of the ag bioeconomy, and of course, it's an important part. And thank heavens we have those fuels, because America's transportation fuel costs are much lower because of it today. But it reaches far beyond that to countless other products, including now bioplastics, biochemicals. And there is tremendous opportunity for growth in developing those markets. And so our policy objectives are to build a policy environment that allows the growth of that industry. Simple things like getting the terminology that's used. So if we're saying biodegradable, compostable, recyclable, bio-preferred, terms like that need to be used consistently so that consumers are never misled. We're always accurately conveying the tremendous positive attributes of these products. And so it is simple things like terminology, getting our measurements of economic growth growing. You know, there are 4.6 million American jobs in the ag bioeconomy today, and that's growing rapidly. But also, how do we build incentives so we can improve the biofuels provisions of the Farm Bill? Be sure the infrastructure for use of those technologies is present in a coherent way so that the benefits of those products can actually be realized.
Well, John, I think as well, other things probably like market transparency and things of that nature are probably important things to watch out for as well, are they not?
Absolutely, Jesse. You are on the money as always. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Market transparency is another big part of this. And, you know, it's so important, Jesse, because with 4.6 million American jobs, this is an opportunity not only to enhance markets for American agriculture, but build jobs, especially in rural America. And the evidence is clear. Those tend to be the among the very best jobs in American agriculture. So engineering, chemistry, high-paying jobs that go to rural America and offer so much opportunity. And it is a way to make our supply chains that are in such a stress condition today because of world events much more resilient and sustainable because we're relying on American agriculture for America's needs.
Well, I would think as well, you know, we talk about a lot of bio-based products. You've mentioned quite a few of them, but of course, you know, the big one that comes to mind that you have mentioned is ethanol, biodiesel, et cetera, and looking at, you know, greenhouse gas emissions and things of that nature and agriculture's role in trying to reduce some of those emissions. I know that, again, will be a key, I think, moving forward as we look at this coalition and some of the work that you guys are doing, especially, again, with that Farm Bill right around the corner.
Yes, Jesse, you know, you're on it. There's so much concern about carbon emissions today because of the climate change issues. But I like to point out that it's beyond carbon emissions. We get benefits in water quality, soil health, also reducing municipal waste issues. And that's a big problem in our overall environmental picture. The environmental benefit here is holistic. It's not just focused on one environmental consideration. And we think that is a key to being truly sustainable.
Well, John, fantastic stuff. Before we run out of time, any other final thoughts you'd like to share with us here about the new coalition? Again, this is very exciting stuff.
I would just say that a lot of consideration needs to be given to the benefits of the ag bioeconomy for opportunities for growth in areas like Middle America to build great new jobs with environmental benefits that should build consumer appreciation for America's farmer.
Well, I know folks can learn more about the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition on the NASDA website, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, the Corn Refiners Association, part of that. With that, John Bode, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure's mine, Jesse. You take care. Stay safe.
And again, that's John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, joining us today to talk about the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition. We're out of time for Market Talk here today. Coming up tomorrow, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
How many acres are you keeping an eye on? Another pair of eyes could be very helpful in protecting your ROI, especially ones that are highly trained. And that's what you'll get with an FS Crop Specialist. They can spot issues you might not even know you have using the latest technology, including thermal, drone, and NDVI imaging. Then they can get an early treatment plan started. Contact your local FS Crop Specialist to learn more about our crop scouting services. It's one more way FS is bringing you what's next.